There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
I think probably Iran made a mistake. I would imagine it was a general or somebody that made a mistake in shooting that drone down. And fortunately, that drone was unarmed. It was not, there was no man in it, and there was no, it was just, it was over international waters, clearly over international waters, but we didn't have a man or woman in the drone. We had nobody in the drone.
Very interesting, and possibly a way for the Iranians to save face on this going forward, as President Trump speaking just minutes ago about that shoot down of a U.S. drone. So as we move forward through this hour of the show on Midday Mobile, I give you the latest from half a world away and what's going on in the Strait of Hormuz, Gulf of Oman, and what's going on back here stateside as we look at a situation that is a definite escalation of the conflict. It's what they called an escalatory act, and that comes from a briefing we got from Lieutenant General Joseph Gustella, top Air Force commander in the Middle East. He was checking in from Qatar. They ran this before the president got to talk just minutes ago. This happened about a half hour to an hour ago. It's about a two-minute here assessment from Lieutenant General in command of that area. Let's go to that cut next. This is Lieutenant General Joseph Gustella.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us on short notice. We just want to get some information out to you guys. So what we're going to do is we have Lieutenant General Joseph Gustella, who is the commander of U.S. Air Force's Central Command. He's calling us from the Combined Air Operations Center, Al Udeid, Qatar. He's going to make a brief statement on last night's shoot down. And at this time, he's not going to take any questions, but we'll hopefully come back to you guys with some more information later today. So, General...
Jonathan, can we ask you why no questions?
Hello. Hello, good afternoon. This is Lieutenant General Joseph Gustella, commander of the U.S. Air Force's Central Command. I'm prepared to give a statement, but I won't be answering questions at this time. A U.S. Navy RQ-4 was flying over the Gulf of Oman and the Strait of Hormuz on a recent surveillance mission in international airspace in the vicinity of recent IRGC maritime attacks when it was shot down by an IRGC surface-to-air missile fired from a location in the vicinity of Goruk, Iran. This was an unprovoked attack on a U.S. surveillance asset that had not violated Iranian airspace at any time during its mission. This attack is an attempt to disrupt our ability to monitor the area following recent threats to international shipping and the free flow of commerce. Iranian reports that this aircraft was shot down over Iran are categorically false. The aircraft was over the Strait of Hormuz and fell into international waters. At the time of the intercept, the RQ-4 was operating at high altitude, approximately 34 kilometers from the nearest point of land on the Iranian coast. This dangerous and escalatory attack was irresponsible and occurred in the vicinity of established air corridors between Dubai, UAE, and Muscat, Oman, possibly endangering innocent civilians. Thank you.
All right, so that was the briefing from the commander there in the region out of Qatar, and the president commenting about that as well. But interesting, in the clip I played right there in the beginning, I want to play that again. It sounds like as President Trump is speaking here, he's almost offering a way out for the Iranians. Let's roll that clip again.
I think probably Iran made a mistake. I would imagine it was a general or somebody that made a mistake in shooting that drone down. And fortunately, that drone was unarmed. It was not, there was no man in it, and there was no, it was just, it was over international waters, clearly over international waters, but we didn't have a man or woman in the drone. We had nobody in the drone.
Sounds like a chance for the Iranians to help de-escalate this. More from the president, this just about 30 minutes ago.
A different country. Do you still hold that opinion?
Oh, absolutely. When I came here, Iran was in 14 to 18 different sites of confliction. They were extremely hostile. They were hostile when they signed the deal. They were screaming death to America. And I think probably Iran made a mistake. I would imagine it was a general or somebody that made a mistake in shooting that drone down. And fortunately, that drone was unarmed. It was not, there was no man in it, and there was no, it was just, it was over international waters, clearly over international waters, but we didn't have a man or woman in the drone. We had nobody in the drone.
Are you still open?
Would have made a big difference, let me tell you. Would have made a big, big difference. But I have a feeling, I may be wrong, and I may be right, but I'm right a lot. I have a feeling that it was a mistake made by somebody that shouldn't have been doing what they did.
Who do you think did?
I think they made a mistake. And I'm not just talking to the country made a mistake. I think that somebody under the command of that country made a big mistake.
You're talking about Iran's leadership.
Let's just see what happens. Let's see what happens. It's all going to work out.
So you're saying that's your administration who wants
it?
Are you saying you think it wasn't intentional to strike the drone?
I don't know. I find it hard to believe it was intentional, if you want to know the truth. I think that it could have been somebody who was loose and stupid that did it. But we'll be able to report back, and you'll understand exactly what happened. But it was a very foolish move. That I can tell you.
Do you feel like there are members of your administration who are trying to push you into conflict?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, in many cases, it's the opposite. But I will say, look, I said I want to get out of these endless wars. I campaigned on that. I want to get out. We've been in Afghanistan for 19 years. As you know, we've reduced very substantially in Afghanistan. We beat the caliphate. We took back 100% of the caliphate. When it was 99%, Justin, I said, we're going to get out. We're going to start peeling back. And everybody went crazy because it was 99. So I said, all right, so we'll finish it up. So we got 100%. And we're pulling that back out of Syria. We're pulling a lot of people back. But this is something, this is a new wrinkle. This is a new fly in the ointment, what happened shooting down the drone. And this country will not stand for it. That I can tell you. Thank you very much.
The end of that little presser there, and you hear President Trump saying he will not stand for it, this country will not stand for it. But at the same time, I would argue that there's, in addition, a path out for the Iranians. I thought that was pretty interesting, and I would argue a bit of statesmanship that I thought was is not catching the top headline. But for the president, that's not saber-rattling. That is somewhat de-escalation. Still, the nation won't stand for it. Everybody's weighing what the response is going to be. Will it be, how do you have a commiserate response for shooting down a drone? What is that, unmanned drone, if you're going to do a tit-for-tat and do something like that? What is equivalent response if that's the way they go? At the same time, listen to what the president's saying. Very interesting, offering this exit strategy almost for the Iranians to say, you know what, we messed up, we didn't mean to do that, or something to that effect. Now, will the Iranians go with it? It's a tough question out there. I haven't seen anything in the past that would make me think they would go with it, but who knows? And I'd say at least an option of de-escalation there offered by the president. By the way, 2 o'clock our time, a Situation Room meeting, members of Congress meeting with the president, of course, hierarchy of the military to find out the latest on this situation. But this is evolving as we speak. And we had this situation with a U.S. drone that was, and by the way, too, we can get in some of the stats. I know Dalton was talking about it with me earlier. Some of the stats on this drone, don't picture the Phantom 3 drone flying around your neighborhood that size. This is a big, with a wingspan like a 737 drone. They can fly at least what the military will say 10 miles high. Now, that tells me if the military says 10 miles, it might fly 20 miles high. I don't know. But it was an observation drone. Was this a way to try to pick a fight pick a skirmish with the United States? And if so, would the Iranians at this point realize that at least there's a way out of this if they decide they get cold feet on it? I want to talk to you about this, and we'll do it throughout this hour at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, just on the financial and fiscal side, sure wish I would have been able to go top off the truck there, fill up before the show started today. Oil jumping 6% today already. U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude rose $2.79, or up 5.19% to $56.55 a barrel. This was the latest. Now, this will change throughout the day. It surged earlier this morning, came down a little bit. Brent crude, the global benchmark, and oil was up $2.32, a 3.7% increase, putting it about $64.16 a barrel. So this is the other part of it. You have the actual question about military conflict in that region, and that region specifically Gulf of Oman, Strait of Hormuz, and a place that has, 15 to, it depends on who you hear talking, 15 to 25% of the oil on planet Earth flowing through that area on tankers going everywhere. So this is something that applies to U.S. allies, also U.S. enemies, but anybody looking for that oil. And so the latest, we'll get you that with the Westwood One News throughout the hour. I'd love to talk to you as well. Is it a situation where this country is ready to go to war again? This time, would it be against Iran? And what if it's, you know, maybe not conventional war, maybe air war or something like that? Or would you be a dove on this and say, sit back and wait and see what happens? Love to hear from you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Having a couple other cuts when we get back here after the break as well on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I may be wrong, and I may be right, but I'm right a lot. I have a feeling that it was a mistake made by somebody that shouldn't have been doing what they did.
Who do you think did
that? I think they made a mistake, and I'm not just talking to the country made a mistake. I think that somebody under the command of that country made a big mistake.
Pretty interesting as a possible way for the Iranians to get out of this. Will they take it? I haven't seen anything in the past that makes me think they would, but I gotta tell you, I'm impressed by the statesmanship there, at least offering that option, as it's a something that could stop right here, something that could be escalated well beyond the situation. And we look at the Iranians, too, and we've talked about this since, what was it, a month ago, a month and a half ago, and we first had the fleet, the U.S. fleet, portions of the battleship group, I think, moved into the Persian Gulf and going to the region there near Iran. And I worried at that point it just put our presence, even though we have presence there, I mean, obviously the base in Qatar is been there, but having more military presence there is more chance to have an interaction with the Iranians, and negatively, not in this case, it was an Air Force asset. But you look at the Iranians there, they're obviously, as I said this morning, this is a sign that the sanctions are working. This is the Iranians' version of a kid slamming their door when they're in trouble. They got grounded for something. They didn't get to go to Billy's house to spend the night, and they slammed the door. That's what the Iranians did here. And I don't know that it was a mistake, but I'm interested in the president offering them that option. This is the Iranians stomping their foot over this. That's what's happening. But what worries me, as I've said since the word go, is a proxy war that at that point, you know, was... you get the Houthis, you have Iranians, and you have Saudi Arabia, and you had the attacks, remember, 2 weeks ago, attacks on Saudi assets. Then you had the Norwegian and Japanese tankers. You had the Iranians trying to bait the United States into something here. Well, also, when you talk about proxy, you have the proxy of the Russians here, right? In the region of the Middle East, you have, obviously, our allies, and pretty much everybody else who isn't our ally is somewhere under the dominion of different percentages, but of the Russians. And today, Russian President Vladimir Putin warned the United States against using force on Iran, saying it would have catastrophic consequences. See, this is how it ratchets up. Iran saying it's ready for war. Then you have the Iranians say the Iranians saying that. And then you have the Russians saying you better not do anything to the Iranians, or else what? This is why it's. I know it's a world away, and it was an unmanned drone, and it seems like hey, that's just an unmanned drone, a half a world away. Why so much attention on it? I could give you about 50 reasons on the list and talk with you about that at 343-0106, 343-0106. Go to the phones first, and Wayne is in Saraland. Hey, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, my friend.
Afternoon. I'm good. Good to hear from you.
You know, I think I agree with you 100%. If you think back, Sean, to the day after Donald Trump was elected, everybody on the left thought that he would have us in a war with everybody on the face of the earth except for the state of Montana. and of course, you know, that hasn't worked out. But I think like you, I think he opened the barn door of opportunity for Iran to say, you know, somebody made a mistake.
Right.
And that could be the end of it.
It could. It's good. And that's, I mean, to me, that's, now, I don't know, you know, I haven't seen anything in the past track record of the Iranians that makes me think they'd take it. But that's some statesmanship. It's impressive. It's not what's grabbing the headlines on the cable news channels now or the websites, but that portion of it stood out to me that the president kind of giving them like, I'm sure y'all didn't mean that. That's not saber rattling. That's statesmanship.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that we've been missing in this country for the last 50 or so years is a lack of statesmen. We've had an awful lot of politicians. We've had very few statesmen. And just as a side note, this is going to kind of go off on a tangent on this same thing, the same subject of the Strait of Hormuz. I wonder where the environmentalists are. They should be in an uproar that Iran is trying to set these mines out there and blow up these oil tankers. If they rupture the storage containers inside those tankers, they're going to have a big environmental catastrophe there. The leftists and the environmentalists ought to just be going crazy over putting pressure on Iran to act straight.
But I think there may be ones among them that aren't scared of them, but I imagine the rest of them. I don't know if you said, hey, send your people out there to stand between the Iranians and whatever next covert move they're going to do, but you wouldn't get a lot of volunteers, Wayne.
Is that kind of like the movie stars wanting to go to Afghanistan and take up for the Afghanis, and then they wanted to put them put them not by the schools, but they wanted to put them out by the military bases, keep the American missiles from hitting them.
Not a lot of volunteers on that one either.
There you go.
Appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wade. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. This is interesting. I mean, Wayne just mentioned it. I was talking about it earlier. I haven't seen it grab a lot of headlines, but it is. Do I think the Iranians are going to go, oh, yeah, that's right, we made a mistake. I hadn't seen much from them that makes me think they would, but at least offering some option there of not just saber-rattling. Now, the president says the United States won't stand for this, but also if you're in the White House, if you're in the Oval Office and you've got to make this decision, what do you, with all the advisors you would have, do you do something commiserate or do you escalate? In other words, and how do you do that? So, you know, by nature, we're talking about drones, right? So, by definition, not a person in there. Do you go? How do you do that? I mean, do you go find, if you wanted to make it tit for tat, if that's what we needed in the realpolitik game being played here, do you go find an unmanned Iranian asset of some sort and then blow it up? Or do you make some other move? And if you don't do anything, do you lose any sort of gained leverage out of this? It's interesting also that the Russians and Putin, no friend of ours, I know that there's a lot of people that think the president and Putin, you know, are best buddies, but in this case, I don't know, doesn't sound like it too much. This is pretty certain. Let me go back to what the quote is. Yeah, Vladimir Putin warning the U.S. against using force on Iran, saying it would have catastrophic consequences. Now, you could, I guess you could play that off and say, well, the catastrophic consequences are, buddy, the Iranians we know are so good, they're going to come after you and they're going to get you. But come on. I mean, you don't have to read too far between the lines here to see that that is a warning from the Russians that they're going to step in on the side of their allies in Iran. At what level? That is the question. More from coming in here. Putin noted that Iran was has abided by the terms of the nuclear deal. The story from The Sun. Putin noted that Iran has abided by the terms of the nuclear deal despite the U.S. withdrawal, adding that he considers U.S. sanctions against Iran unfounded. The Islamic State, it says, Islamic Republic state-run IRNA news agency has insisted the country's Revolutionary Guard hit the drone when it flew over Iran in a clear message to Washington. It has now filed a complaint with the UN over the incident and said it would vigorously defend its sovereignty. Senior leaders of Congress have received an urgent briefing of the situation. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said, adding that the United States has no appetite to go to war with Iran. And actually, Speaker Pelosi has backed up and said, you know, she doesn't believe that the country nor the president has that appetite. Here's a clip from a little bit earlier today.
I don't think the president wants to go to war. There's no appetite for going to war in our country. We have to be strong and strategic about how we protect our interests. We also cannot be reckless in what we do.
So, of course, why this would be important, if this would be something that would be going to war, bucking the trend of the last few decades, they would need to get president would need to go to Congress to get a green light for that. Talk more about this when we come back. Plus, is he in? Roy Moore to make an announcement at 2 o'clock today.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. By the way, Garrett's going to be a guest on this show on Monday. Fascinating guy and some great ideas. Got to sit down and talk with him at length. He's going to join us on this show on Monday, and then his show debuts on Wednesday right here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, grab some calls and getting some text as well. Listen, I would hope for a little more nuance than, okay, the whole nuke them, let's bomb them, let's once again, everybody's interconnected. I mean, I believe we have to have a response. Our nation count out anybody, but I thought it was interesting. I think it's missed by many that the president has offered a way out. I thought that was a deft use of language there. Will the Iranians take that? Wouldn't you rather go the route that doesn't involve further escalation? And remember, there's different players here. First of all, the Iranians are worth considering a challenging ally for sure. But on top of that, you've got to, you know, they're going to be a proxy for the Russians. And you got, of course, on our side, we have our allies, the Saudis and the Israelis and others in the region, and Jordan, which, by the way, same way I like the Kurds. Of course, they're not a nation, but a big fan of the Kurds. I'm a big fan of the Jordanians as well. Obviously, the Israelis, but everybody gets that. Country of Jordan, they punch above their weight class, too. Small, but a pretty decent ally in the region. But wouldn't we rather not have to talk about what happens there? Wouldn't we rather go the path of peace on this? Okay, I hear from you. By the way, too, coming up, we'll talk about Roy Moore's announcement today and a story out of Montgomery, too, that has got my attention. You're going to want to hear this. What if this would come to Mobile or Baldwin County? So I'll get you this in just a second. But heads up, another great event tonight at Cottage Hill Package. You know, they have these events usually Thursday and Friday nights, free open to We the Customer events. You can come out. Sometimes they're doing cigar events. Sometimes it's a fine wine. You get to come out and sample different wines. Sometimes it's spirits. My favorite, craft beers. And one of the perfect pairings of local and local, the Bannis Family and Cottage Hill Package have John Serta and his crew from Serta's Brewing coming in tonight for a free tasting. Now, this is from 6 to 8. Goes on in the lounge in the back of Cottage Hill Package. Like, if often they'll leave that door open. If you walk in Cottage Hill Package up front, like I was in there this last weekend, and you look to the back there, you can see that lounge, beautiful leather furniture, the big wood bar, the whole nine. That's where they have these events in the evening. You can go back, and tonight you can sample beers from Serta's Brewing. So you come out and check out what is new from Serta Brewing Company. They got their Clear Prop Baltic Porter for us to taste, the Homeport Hefeweizen, their Jubilator Helles Doppelbock, Hook and Line Lager Pilsner, and some other surprises. 6 to 8 tonight. Come sample them, and hopefully you'll find a beer you really dig and get a six-pack of that for the weekend to come. All right. It's online, cottagehillpackage.com, but the best thing to do is to make sure to like their page on Facebook for Cottage Hill Package, and then you'll get updates whenever they have these events. Let's see. I'll get to the Montgomery thing here in just a second. This give you more on the story before we get into it. So the story is up from the Montgomery Advertiser, and they're having an issue. You know, we often think about our issues with gun violence and gun theft and juvenile delinquents and all that stuff. You kind of get this mindset that it's only going on here. I mean, I get it, too, because this is where we're worried about, wherever you live, right? That's the place that concerns you most. Well, you don't have to look too far around our area, around our state, and see other cities dealing with the same. Montgomery is no different. And now this proposal coming in Montgomery that would punish parents for the crimes of the children. And beyond what's been done before. First of all, I want to go to a little clip here. It's a lot of stuff going on, and maybe the mayor misspoke in part of this, but this is a Mayor of Montgomery, Todd Strange, talking about their rash of youth violence going on and guns in their city.
Secure your guns. Make sure your kids don't have these guns. Well, we are renewing that call. Parents, get the guns. There are programs out there that reward you. But it ought not be for the reward. It's the right thing to do. Get the guns out of the hands. And woe be unto you if you contribute to the negligence. Because the judges, the district attorney, our police organizations, including the sheriff, we have coveted that we will not only go after the people that are pulling the trigger or banishing the weapon, but those that are facilitating that, and that is the parent, or the guardian, or the grandparent, or whomever's in charge of that particular household. This is a warning, because over the next period of time, in concert with the public school system, there will be action, because we have got to remove guns from our society. But the first effort is, let's make sure our schools, our areas of education, are safe, sound, and secure.
All right, so there's the Mayor of Montgomery, Todd Strange. Does he mean remove guns from the entire society? Maybe he didn't mean that. There's a couple things he said in there maybe he didn't mean. Maybe he's just full of fire and brimstone on this. Listen, Montgomery dealing with the same issues we deal with here. But this move here is to hold parents accountable at a higher level than ever before. Okay, the ordinance they're talking about will list several violations by children that could put their parents in hot water, according to a story in the Montgomery Advertiser. Drug and alcohol possession, because you heard the mayor talking about the firearms, and we'll get to that. But drug or alcohol possession or use, then firearms, failure to observe curfews. Now, we've done that in Mobile, right? And the parents held responsible in the curfew part. Truancy, same thing. Improper supervision. Now, if you would have write something out that is open to interpretation, that could be used in a pretty wide scope, improper supervision, property damage, and theft. These are all crimes they're saying that could be punishable by this rule. In other words, the ute goes out and has drugs or alcohol in possession or use. They have a firearm. They fail to observe curfew. They're truant, which of course, would start when school gets back in. If they are improperly supervised, that one seems problematic to me. They commit property damage or commit theft. These would all be punishable under this rule that Montgomery wants to talk about. And it sounds like there's some of it that would almost be analog to the child. In other words, if the child steals or the child defaces something, or if they're drinking, the parent is almost charged the same way the child would be. Now, I understand the frustration of parents, of city leaders. I would say the parents are responsible, and of city leaders, but you start getting some big constitutional questions on this, don't you? I mean, this rule, this idea here would be that it would almost be analog. Like, whatever the punishment would be for what the child did, the parent would have to deal with that, not the child. And I mean, some of these things you can say, okay, listen, there should be, if a city agrees to have a youth curfew, right, and the city agrees and that's the law, you have to have some way to enforce that. And the way to enforce that is to make it uncomfortable through a fine or something else for the parents. So the parents that didn't pay attention before will pay attention because they want to avoid paying money or spend the night in jail or whatever the thing is. But when you go down a list, and I would have to have somebody who's a better constitutional scholar, but I'll tell you, just at first blush for me, the idea of that they're proposing for Montgomery, where if the child goes and steals something, the parent almost gets charged with theft. It seems like that would be shot down in court day one. Once again, don't you? I mean, there's people reacting. I know I see on the text line people reacting. Oh, that's good. That'll shut it down. Okay, you can be excited, but what about the constitutionality of that? I get that they're frustrated. They've had enough. But what about you would have a charge on your record? You would be possibly arrested for something that you did not do. Your child did it, but you did not do. Seems like, I don't know how that can pass muster here, but we'll talk about that with you. 343-0106, 343-0106. Also coming up next hour, we'll talk about the increasing number of people running for Senate 2020 in the state of Alabama. I say that because I pretty much think that when former Justice Roy Moore speaks at 2 o'clock today, it's not to tell us he's not getting in. I have a feeling he's going to be in, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Shelton in beautiful Seminole, Alabama, is up first. Hey, Shelton.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
What my deal is with that is, your kids nowadays say to the parent, you know, if you whip me, I'll call the police.
Right. So, well, I mean, some will. I mean, listen, the kids have been telling their parents they're going to run away too forever, right? And they get at the end of the block and they turn around and come home. But this is listen, I understand people's frustration. They're having issues in Montgomery, like so many cities, like we've had down here. But just constitutionally, I mean, get it, right? Let's just look at it there. Shelton, I mean, you can't be arrested in this country and punished for a crime you didn't do. I mean, that's just, even though it's your kid, that it just seems like that's a hill too far.
I think so too, because you know nowadays you can't. It's hard to discipline your child, especially the way I got disciplined. You know, my mama said, "I'm gonna beat your butt," and that's what she done.
Would she use the wooden spoon? What'd she use on you, Shelton?
A belt, a switch.
Right.
And you know, it didn't feel good, but I didn't do it. Well, I'd do it again, but some people wouldn't have done it again.
But you were hard-headed?
I was hard-headed.
But think about this. Think if you'd gone and done whatever the thing was, and then they showed up and they arrested your mom. That just seems like it's how they think that this is going to be. It may be a feel-good for the politicians in Montgomery, how they think that's going to challenge, make it through the first court case. I don't see how it can even. Maybe there's something I'm missing on this, but I don't know how. I appreciate the call. Open up a phone line at 343-0106. 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5, and Thursday edition of Midday Mobile. 343-0106 puts you through. 343-0106. Yeah, this is a something they're considering for Montgomery, because they're, you know, we're fed up with the violence. We're fed up, and I get that, but, you know, to say, well, just do that. That's like the kid on the sideline. Yeah, get him. It's the constitutionality of it. I mean, you think this is going to pass a court case that you would be punished? I'm not saying that there are situations like if your child is truant and they're truant this many times, there are fines and penalties against the parent. But the parent is fined for their child being truant. The parent isn't considered truant. See what I'm saying? And this is the nuance in what they're talking about for Montgomery. This comes from I think they're copying something that was done in Georgia. And this idea would be, once again, that the city ordinance would require parents to be punished when their children commit a crime. So the child steals and the parent's punished for the theft. The child, you know, defaces something. They're punished for that. That's, and then the one there, too, they had that one line, whether it's number one, they said, parents would be in trouble for drug or alcohol possession or use, failure to keep curfew, possession of and use of firearms, truancy, improper supervision. Open-ended stuff like that is just, you have got to throw a flag on that. It's not that I want kids improperly supervised, but that is just, that is open to such a wide, wide interpretation. Theft and property damage also on that list. All right, go to the phones here at 343-0106. Cameron, though, on the text line says, first, he said, this is an oversimplified and non-effective solution to our problem. Most of these kids live in single-parent households. Punishing the parents would remove whatever stability they have in their life. On the other hand, these parents are absolutely responsible for these kids' behavior. Women keep having kids out of wedlock with men who have zero interest in raising a child. All right, this also, let's see, Supermom says these children that get into trouble due to non-parenting, and there are also kids who get into trouble with parents who do parenting correctly. I don't think this is very fair. You are right, Supermom. Think about that. Now, chances are, with no parenting, better chance for the kid to get in trouble, sure. Also, I do kids growing up. They're just like, man, they have no reason to be doing this, but they're still doing this. You know, they're still doing this. So, unnamed texture here, you crack me up. Montgomery would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those pesky kids and their constitution. That's true. Well said. All right, to the phones at 343-0106. I don't know if they pass this, because if they pass this in Montgomery, how long it will take for the first challenge in court on it. I mean, there'll be a bunch of people here that rah, 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 all right, get them. This is good. This is going to solve it. Think a little bit deeper. Everything surface rah, rah, rah gets you into a lot of court cases that could cost Montgomery a lot of money. All right, David in Mobile is up next. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, before I give you my out-of-the-box solution for Iran, let me give you my out-of-the-box solution for kids with for Montgomery.
Okay.
Instead of punishing the parents for the crime of the kids, why don't we make the parents stand on the street corner with those signs that you put on your body, you know, the
sandwich
like
board.
Free hot dog here sign,
saying,
my kid was convicted of whatever crime, like possession or theft or whatever.
Okay, that's still a punishment, but it's not. You could punish. Listen, there's already precedent set, right? I mean, if you're truant or something, punishment to a parent who has a child does something, that's one thing. But they're talking about a law like if whatever the charge would be, the punishment would be for that theft or that vandalism or whatever, the parent would actually be charged with it and serve. I don't know how anybody thinks that that's going to pass any constitutional test.
Well, I tend to agree with you on that, but like I said, my solution, you're punishing them, but you're punishing them through embarrassment, because we obviously know that kids have no shame, so maybe the parents do, and you know, having them stand on the street corner saying my kid did this, and I don't know that you
get through with that, but at least at that point it is, you would have them in violation of a code of being a parent, and they would be charged with your sandwich board torture. Under that, they wouldn't be charged with the gun, you know, that they possessed a gun, or they were drinking, or they were defacing something. So I think that actually, well, I don't know, that's the best, it could stand the constitutional test. This other stuff, I don't even know why Montgomery's messing around with it. I don't know how you can charge somebody with a crime that they didn't do. I don't get it.
I tend to agree with you. Real quickly, my out of box. Obviously, there's going to have to be some sort of retaliation for them shooting down a drone. But beyond that, there's plenty of desert in the UAE and Oman, the two countries that protrude into the Strait of Hormuz on the other side of Iran.
Right.
Why don't we just go and build an international intercoastal canal for the oil tankers to go through and completely bypass the Iranian waters? And if they try to destroy an oil tanker or shoot down a drone over that canal, they would have to violate airspace or sovereignty to do that, which would definitely be a act of war.
Okay, so you're talking about cutting a canal, like come in through Dubai and just go around that big point?
Yes, so just completely bypass it.
Okay, so but they wouldn't be like waiting on one side or the other.
No, it would be it'd be like the Panama Canal or the Suez Canal, where you've got plenty of space to have two-way traffic.
Okay, interesting major earth-moving project there to cut through. I was appreciate the call. Leaves line open 343-0106. There's a canal, and I don't know the name of it. I could probably Google it here during the break. I traveled from Patras, Greece, as a punk kid with his belongings on his back in Europe, I think it was Patras, Greece, to close to Athens, and it was a canal, I think, cut by the English there in Greece, and it is amazing. I have to Google up the pictures of this thing. It is cut out of sheer rock. You think about Panama Canal and things like that, where you cut, you know, this canal and then link this lake and cut this other canal. This place, y'all, was cut through the mountain. You know, Greece is, a lot of it, very mountainous, and it cut straight through the rock. And you went down, and we were in a cruise ship kind of thing. It was we had deck passage. We're living on top of this thing that had gone from Italy over to Athens. But yet you're traveling through sheer walls on either side where they cut out the mountain to have this canal go through. It was unreal. All right, it's been a long time since I thought about that. All right, 12:58. We'll be right back.